Father, it is with humility and reverence that we turn to the scriptures. They are indeed the very word of God. And how we thank you that you are a God who speaks today through his word by his spirit. And we do ask that for each one of us this morning, that there might be a word in season as from yourself. Father, sometimes your word can be bitter to our taste. We're convicted, we're challenged, we're rebuked. At other times your word is sweet to our taste. We are comforted, we are encouraged. But Father, whether your word comes to us this morning as bitter or sweet, we do pray that we might receive it as from yourself, not as the word of a man, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And so may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have a Bible with you, perhaps you'll turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. There were those in Corinth who were denying the resurrection of Christ. Those to whom an empty cross, an empty tomb, well, it was fantasy. It was something that never could have happened. Well, the Apostle Paul was so disturbed by this denial of the resurrection that here in 1 Corinthians 15, he takes up 58 verses in order to assert the absolute importance of the resurrection. He begins in the opening verses of the chapter by giving three reasons why he's convinced beyond all doubt that Jesus is risen from the dead. And the reasons are these. First, in verses 3 to 4, the testimony of Scripture. And then in verses 5 to 7, the witness of others. And then in verses 8 and 9, the experience of Paul himself. These are the reasons why Paul is convinced beyond all doubt that Christ is risen from the dead. Now, it's significant that Paul begins with the testimony of Scripture. He doesn't begin with the witness of others. He doesn't even begin with his own experience, as remarkable, as dramatic as that was. No, he begins with the testimony of Scripture. Verse 3. I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. As far as Paul is concerned, that settles the matter. The Bible says he was to die, he was to be buried, he was to rise again. Therefore, he has died, he has been buried, he has risen again. Doubt it no more, says Paul, question it no more. We have the unmistakable testimony of the Scriptures. Well, that must always be our starting point. I've seen many people changed by the power of the risen Christ. That same power has impacted upon me. But I proclaim the resurrection of Christ first and foremost, not because he's changed me, not because he's changed others. I proclaim the resurrection first and foremost because the Bible proclaims Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ rose from the dead. We have this clear, this unequivocal testimony of Scripture. And it's upon this testimony that we rest and build our faith. Well, there were those in Corinth who were denying this essential, this fundamental truth. And in verses 17 to 19, Paul takes them on. And he sets out some of the implications, some of the consequences, if Christ is not risen from the dead. Now, this was important in Corinth in the first century. It's still important in the United Kingdom today. Because within the professing Christian church, there are some who think that the physical resurrection of Jesus is just an optional extra. Doesn't matter whether you accept it or deny it. Well, Paul says that's nonsense. It does matter. It matters a great deal. Because the resurrection is at the heart of the Christian faith. And without it, the consequences are dire and serious. Now, in verses 17 to 19, Paul is speaking in negative terms. He says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins. Also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Paul is speaking in negative terms. And he sets out some of the implications if Christ is not risen from the dead. But then in verse 20, he turns the negative into the positive. But now he says, Christ is risen from the dead. He turns the negative into the positive. And so too can we. Because Christ is risen, we can affirm three things this morning. The first thing, because Christ is risen from the dead, our faith is not futile. Our faith is not futile. Verse 17, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Verse 20, but now Christ is risen. Because he's risen from the dead, our faith is not futile. Paul is saying something here which is of the utmost importance in the days in which we find ourselves. Paul is saying a faith without a resurrection is futile. That's what the apostle is saying. And yet it is precisely that many today are not saying. The great emphasis today is this. If you're sincere, if you have some kind of faith, it doesn't matter what that faith is. You can be a Unitarian, Christian Scientist, a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Hindu. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Provided you're sincere, provided you're a person of faith, that is all that matters. We mustn't imply that one faith is superior to any other. That is the philosophy which prevails today. Well, Paul spoke in the days before political correctness. And he does not mince his words. A faith without a resurrection is futile. Now, that doesn't mean that there's nothing true or good or moral in other faiths. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that as far as forgiveness is concerned, as far as knowing God is concerned, as far as heaven is concerned, as far as the eternal issues are concerned, there's only one true faith, and that is the Christian faith. The only faith which has resurrection at the very heart of its teaching. Now, I do appreciate that today we're in a multi-faith society. Many different faiths are to be found within the British Isles. And of course we have to be sensitive, we have to be respectful to the beliefs of others. But whilst we are a multi-faith society, what we must guard against is ever becoming an inter-faith society. Because as soon as we do that, we deny the absolute uniqueness of Jesus Christ. We deny the absolute uniqueness of the Christian faith. And Christianity is unique because it doesn't end in death and burial. It ends with resurrection and ascension. Now that's why before he ascended, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and make disciples of all nations." Well, he would never have said that if all faiths were equal, if all faiths got you to heaven. There would have been no need for him to say that. No, there's something special, something unique about the Christian faith. And it's the resurrection of Christ. It's that which sets it apart from all other faiths. Christ is risen from the dead. Our faith is not futile. But then Paul tells us something else. Because Christ is risen from the dead, our hope is not a false hope. Our hope is not a false hope. Verse 17, if Christ is not risen from the dead, verse 18, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Verse 20, but Christ is risen from the dead. When you're dead, you're dead. When you're 6 foot under, you're 6 foot under. That's the humanistic philosophy gripping the minds of multitudes this morning. Well, Paul says, if Christ is not risen from the dead, we might as well join their ranks. We might as well embrace their philosophy. I remember an Easter Sunday morning over 50 years ago. I was sat in the congregation of a crowded church the pastor announced the opening hymn. It was the hymn we began with this morning. Christ the Lord is risen today. The organist played the first note and he then keeled over. He'd had a heart attack and died. Now, if Christ is not risen from the dead, that Easter morning was a mockery. It was a cruel joke. Because in the presence of death, we sang, death in vain forbids him rise. Christ has opened paradise. Once he died our souls to save, where's your victory, boasting grave? How pathetic. How pitiable if Christ is not risen from the dead. And this is precisely what Paul says in verse 19. If it's all a myth, if it's all a fable, then we're just a group of miserable, deluded people. And instead of singing Easter hymns, we might as well, verse 32, just eat, drink, and be merry. But, says Paul, Christ is risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead. Verse 23, each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and those who are Christ at his coming. Christ was the first one to come up out of the ground. He's the first fruits, but he's going to be followed by a great harvest. For just as Christ was raised and resurrected, so a great multitude, they too will be raised and resurrected. What happened to him will most certainly happen to them. But let me just add something. It will not just be Christians who are raised. It will not just be Christians who are resurrected. All will be resurrected. If you turn to John chapter 5 and verse 28. John chapter 5 and verse 28. Jesus said, do not marvel at this. The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I remember some years ago having a Jehovah's Witness on the doorstep, and as we conversed, he said that after death it was either paradise or annihilation. And so I said, well, we'll turn to John 5 and verse 28. Do not marvel at this. The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Oh, he said we need to turn to Ecclesiastes. Well, I said, before we turn to Ecclesiastes, can we get this sorted out? All who are in the grave will hear his voice. Yes, he said, but we need to go to Isaiah. I said, we won't go to Isaiah. We'll get this sorted out first. All who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. I said, does all mean all? Or does it mean something else? All will be raised. The only difference is destination. The only difference is destination. Some will be raised to heaven. Others will be raised for hell. All will be raised. The only difference, destination. That's why, my friend, if you're not saved this morning, you need to be saved. That's why, if you've never repented of sin and trusted Christ for yourself, you need to do so today. Whilst it is still today. Whilst we're in the day of grace, before the day of judgment begins. For all who are in the graves will come forth when they hear his voice. But then Paul tells us a third thing. Because Christ is risen from the dead, our faith is not futile. Because Christ is risen from the dead, our hope is not a false hope. And the third thing, because Christ is risen from the dead, our service is not a foolish enterprise. Our service is not a foolish enterprise. If we turn to the closing verse of 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, Paul says, my beloved friends, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. I always find this very interesting. Paul has taken up 57 verses speaking about the wonder of the resurrection. And he finishes in verse 58 by using the word therefore. Therefore. Now, we might almost have expected him to say, Christ is risen. Your faith isn't futile. Your hope isn't false. Therefore, sing. Dance, celebrate, have a carnival, have a jamboree. And of course that's what some Christians seem to do. But Paul doesn't say that. Christ is risen, therefore be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, the very words Paul uses, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, they almost suggest that Christian work will often be hard, difficult, discouraging. And the temptation will always be there, either to give up or to change the message. And we have to say that has happened. I think discouragement is one of the greatest dangers facing the church in Britain today. And some have given up. They've given in to discouragement. Some have given up, whilst others have changed the message. I remember speaking to a farmer some years ago, and he was telling me about a young evangelist who'd taken a mission at their church in the early 1970s. This young man had stayed with them. They'd had a wonderful mission, a wonderful time. Quite a number had been converted. So some years afterwards, they got him to preach again at their church anniversary. And he said, we couldn't have been more disappointed. We couldn't have been more disappointed. He was now a changed man with a changed message. All the fire, all the zeal, all the passion had gone. Friends, it can happen. It can happen. How can you and I make sure it does not happen to us? Well, Paul says, if you're ever discouraged, if you're ever tempted to change the message, get a grip of 1 Corinthians 15. Christ is risen. He's conquered sin. He's vanquished Satan. He's defeated death. He's banished hell. In him there is now for every repentant sinner forgiveness of sin, reconciliation, peace with God, an indwelling spirit, an eternal home in heaven. What a message. What a gospel. And it's true. It's real. Why then would you ever want to turn away from it or change it or preach some other gospel? Why, even if it's unpopular and there's little response, why would you ever wish to give up on it? Christ is risen. Therefore be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing, says Paul, that such work, such service, it can never ever be in vain. As we conclude, I just want to turn to a phrase which we find in St. Luke 14 and verse 14. It comes at the end of the parable of the wedding feast. But Jesus says this in verse 14. You will be blessed because they cannot repay you. You shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. What a promise. You shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Today the work might be hard, discouraging, unrewarding. You will be rewarded. You will be rewarded. Perhaps not now, but at the resurrection of the just. Our reward is certain. Our wages are guaranteed. We serve the very best of masters. Never forget that. When you're discouraged, when you're perhaps tempted to give up, we serve the very best of masters. Our reward is certain. Our wages are guaranteed. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Therefore, our faith is not futile. Our hope is not a false hope. And our service is never a foolish enterprise. What we do for the Lord will never be forgotten. And we're promised here we will be rewarded. Rewarded at the resurrection of the just.